This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute, Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. I want to thank all of my listeners for the support. We're currently still in the middle of COVID-19 epidemic. I'm in New York City, and it looks like we are way below the curve. Everything's starting to open up. I'm starting to notice that other states are having a little bit more trouble. We wish the essential workers, and we wish well for the people who are sick, who are struggling with the virus. So, on today's episode, I'm going to talk about child support reform. Apparently, in the state of Michigan, you have a dads by default law. And with all this stuff going on and the racial unrest going on in the United States of America, where we're talking about the state of the African American community, I think the dads by default law is a problem, because what it does, it creates a destroyed family household. So before I get to this episode, I'll start off with some church announcements. I want you guys to follow me on Instagram. BlackKage840 is my Instagram account. If you type it in, you can go to my bios where you get my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Twitch account. And I really want you to go to my Instagram account, because it has all the highlights of all of the previous podcasts that I've already done. Oh, and please follow me on my YouTube page, which is Pain308TV, where it has some of my video feeds of my podcast. Thank you very much. What we're going to do is I'm going to get right to the articles that I've been reading for this particular law, Dads by Default Law. So, let's start. All right. This article I'm reading for ABC News, WXYZ Detroit. The article is called "Under Michigan Laws, Men Not Be the Father But Still Owe Child Support," which is so weird. And this article has been written by Kim Russell of ABC XYZ News over in Detroit. Most people think that you have to either adopt or conceive a baby to become legally responsible for a child. Under Michigan law, that is simply not how it works. I became dad by default, said Reginald Whitfield II. He and three other men came to the 7 Action News studios for a panel discussion on how one becomes dad by default. There are a couple of ways it happens. Pastor Edward Mack says his previous wife had 3 children. He loved them as his own. Then he realized 2 of them wasn't biologically his. I don't really want to talk about it. It brings tears to my eyes, said Mack. Pastor Mack said the betrayal led to divorce. He was shocked when the judge told him he was married. He became dad by default to his wife's children. He had to pay child support for another man's children. Let her pay for them. Let her get the man she lay down with to pay for them, he goes free. I never even slept with her, said Anthony Sims of the mother of the child he's paying for. I had a lawsuit when I was young. She said that is the money I am going to get, and she got it. Reginald Whitlow, Anthony Sims, and Carnell Alexander have similar stories, but they say women named them out of nowhere. In 2014, Stephen Action News told Carnell Alexander's story and found the mother. She said she was told in order to get welfare benefits, she needed to name a father. She knew he wasn't the dad, but wrote down his name. Then these men missed paternity hearings because they were sick or did not receive notice. Carnell had proof. He was in prison when a process server claimed he was served at a house in Highland Park. When they didn't show up at a court, a judge ruled them dads by default. Then they missed the chance to challenge it with DNA evidence by the court's deadline because they couldn't find the woman and children. They wouldn't give me her address because it was confidential, said Whitlow. These men all eventually got DNA tests back in their stories. It was too late. Oftentimes it doesn't make a difference, said Representative Jim Rudstad, White Lake, of DNA test results. Rudstad said those DNA test results should make a difference. He heard the story of Carnell Alexander on 7 Action News and decided to take action. He said this year he hopes to pass legislation that will protect men from being forced to pay for another man's children. Plus, women and process servers who lie should face legal consequences. This is wrong. Deceiving and lying and obligating people who are not supposed to be obligated to pay bills is wrong, said Ronstadt. The men who spoke to 7 Action News don't just want the law changed to protect others. They want compensation. I am getting garnished. I am getting thrown in jail. I am getting felony charges, said Sims. You have taken our lives, said Alexander. Change the law, said Mack. Ronstadt has written 5 bills that he says will protect both men and children for such fraud. He says he plans to introduce them within the next month. Okay. Yeah, I heard about this dad by default law by looking at YouTube comedian podcasters by the name of Abba and Preach, I mean, and I wanted to find out more information about it. Okay. Here's another article by KFOR.com. Dads by default. Judge makes surprising ruling in child support case. This is posted February 18, 2015. Okay. Detroit, Michigan. A child support case in Detroit gained national attention after the man proved he was not the father of the child in question. Carnell Alexander said he was shocked when he was arrested during a traffic stop in the early 1990s. The officer told Alexander he was being arrested for being a deadbeat dad. However, Alexander did not have any children. The case started in the late 80s when Alexander's ex-girlfriend had a child. She said she needed help providing for the boy, but was told that in order to get welfare assistance, she had to name a father on the paperwork. She said she decided to put down Alexander's name, even though she knew he couldn't be the father. That's when the state started a paternity case against him to collect money for the assistance that was provided. A process server turned in paperwork claiming that Alexander was given notice of the case. However, the Michigan Department of Corrections said that this is impossible since he was incarcerated at the time. Last month, a warrant for his arrest was issued for failure to pay child support. I'm almost homeless. I'm almost in jail. I am out of work. My money is threatened to be taken, he said. I'm scared. Despite having a paternity test that proves he is not the father, a judge still said he had to pay. On Tuesday, the Third Judicial Circuit Court heard the case. I am outraged that Mr. Alexander for 2.5 decades failed to take this matter seriously, said Judge Kathleen McCarthy. McCarthy says that while Alexander had been to court dozens of times over the years, she says he's never filed a motion to set aside the acknowledgement of parentage. The motion must be filed within 3 years after the child's birth, or within 1 year after the order of visitation is entered. The defendant has failed to timely file this motion setting aside the acknowledgement of parenting, said Judge McCarthy. Alexander says that when he learned that he was a deadbeat dad, he had no income or no savings. He has an 8th grade education and could not find a lawyer he could afford. He says that he didn't know a specific motion that needed to be filed, but he made sure court workers and judges on the case knew he wasn't the child's father. Every court appearance that she said I made it clear to them I was not the father of the child, he said. Alexander says the court also gave him an old address for the child's mother, so he could not find her until 2013. Once he took the paternity test, he again tried to prove his case. The court ruled that Alexander still owes more than $30,000 in child support. That's messed up, man. Yeah, that's crazy. That's by default, hell, new law. This is from the Washington Times. Okay. That's by default law. Hell, new law. Bert Riddick's plans to go to California court this year to try once again to escape a child support order for a girl he has never met and says he has proof he didn't father. Last week, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill to allow men to challenge the paternity of children from who they owe support. I feel that there's any way for the system to fight it anymore, said Mr. Riddison Carlson, California, who's been protesting this child support order for more of a decade. The new law sponsored by California Assembly member Hannah Beth Jackson, a Democrat, was chaired by opponents of paternity fraud. It's well overdue, said Carnell Smith, founder of the U.S. Citizens Against Paternity Fraud in Decatur, Georgia, who counts California as the 24th state with a paternity fraud law. The California law, which goes into effect January 1st, will help thousands of men who have been assigned child support orders by default, said Mr. Smith, referring to the common practice in which assumed fathers are ordered to pay child support even if they never appear in court. The law will also protect men who signed confessions of paternity when they thought they were fathers but later discovered that they were not, said Mr. Smith, who successfully lobbied for a paternity fraud law in Georgia after discovering he was paying child support for a child he did not father. Like with other states, California new law sets time limits on paternity challenges. Men can file protests within 2 years of being ordered to pay child support or within 2 years of the child's birth. Men such as Mr. Riddick, who has been known for years that they are supporting someone else's child, also will be allowed to challenge their child support orders under the law. California law passed the legislature with virtually unanimous support because it was a compromise bill, advocates said. A stronger paternity fraud bill had been offered in the state senate, said Los Angeles lawyer Mark Angelui, who was the leader of the National Coalition of Free Men. The Senate bill, however, was opposed by California child support officials and feminist group who viewed it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Feminists and child support groups have become increasingly alarmed by the growing support for what they call paternity disestablishment. They argue that biology is not always paramount in family relationships, and ending established support for a child is rarely in the child's best interest. Financial considerations also play a part in ending established child support orders. In 2002, California Governor Gray Davis vetoed a paternity bill that would have required men to be personally served with child support papers. Such a rule will prevent many men from being named fathers and end up costing California as much as $40 million in federal child support funds, Mr. Davis said in his veto statement. Mr. Riddick said he was assigned a child support payment by default after a woman he knew named him the father of the child. The 1994 payment grew over time to $1,400 per month for the last 4 years. Mr. Riddick said he found out he wasn't the father in 1996 after he was arrested as a deadbeat dad. The criminal court judge ordered DNA testing for Mr. Riddick, the mother, and the child. It showed I had a 0% chance of being the father of this child, he said. The criminal court judge threw out the charge, but when Mr. Riddick tried to get his child support order overturned in civil court, state officials refused. They said that the criminal court case had nothing to do with the civil case and I would still have to pay child support for 18 years, Mr. Riddick said, and I've never even seen this kid. The consequences have been severe. Lost my home, ruined my marriage, he said, adding the real victims are his biological children, who he has been hard to press to support. When Mr. Riddick goes to court in December to get a January court date, things should be different. Now we finally have a law to cite rather than argument to cite. Yeah, man. So, this dad by default thing has basically been going on all over the country. Interesting. This is another report about Detroit. What's going on in Michigan? It's the same guy, Carnell Alexander. Let's see. This article is from the Telegram newspaper. It's been written by Stephen Malik Shelton. Detroit man fights unjust child support system. Courts are required to meet two types of jurisdiction when filing a case. Jurisdiction over the subject matter involved in the case and jurisdiction over the defendant. Some 22 years ago, Carnell Alexander was named as the father of the child by a woman who appeared for social services. The woman, unsure who the real dad was and desperate to receive financial assistance for herself and her child, named Alexander, a former friend, as the dad. In the early 1990s, a process server was dispatched to the home of relative of Alexander to serve a court summons to determine if he was in fact the child's father. The server claimed that he handed the summons to Alexander, but this was not possible because he was in prison at the time. When Alexander did not show up for his court appearance, he was ruled to be the child's father by default and a warrant was issued for his arrest. The story gets even stranger when years later, Alexander proves by DNA evidence that he is not the father of the child and that he could not receive a summons and therefore outside his legal jurisdiction of the court. Nevertheless, it was ruled that he paid over $30,000 in child support payments to the state of Michigan. Sadly, in Alexander's case, the court did not adhere to the letter or the spirit of the law and it seems to determine to carve out a pond of fresh regardless of his legal and ethical authority to do so. Deceit was committed against Alexander on several levels. Unfortunately, the state of Michigan does not have any paternity fraud laws that protect men from women, and the protection against the court system is also weak to non-existent. How can you start a case with a lie? Asked Alexander. The mom lied, the process service lied, and now the court wants me to pay for it? The judge on the case ruled that he had 3 years to file a motion with the court to deny parentage, and the 3-year limit had elapsed when he appeared in court, but it was not explained. It is that the court had an obligation to notify Alexander of the child support allegation against him. It was not done because of dishonest process server, the court employed to do the job. Also, for many of those years, he was jobless, unable to hire an attorney, aware of his legal options or any legal penalties against them. This felony non-support issue or dad by default issue is a money issue, Alexander said. It is not about the welfare of the children. The welfare of the children through the system is very weak, so I'm organizing in the 2008 a campaign to stop men from becoming felons for not being able to support their children. We need to strategize to get out of this government trap that is costing us all this money that is not benefiting our children. When the parents are incarcerated for non-payment, not only does the parent suffer, but the child suffers, the extended family suffers, and society suffers. And the cost is incalculable because it creates a vicious cycle of poverty and fear that sometimes has deadly consequences. A few years ago, a black man named Walter Scott was shot in the back multiple times and killed during a traffic stop by a trigger-happy cop while he was running away. It was later determined he tried to flee because of a child support warrant. Many experts believe that parents incarcerated the child support issues are prevented from earning any money and placed in even more difficult situation when they are released in terms of failing, falling behind in payments, and trying to find employment while burning with an arrest and incarceration record. Alexander recently petitioned the state legislature to pass House Bill 4666, which would make it a felony for a summons servant to lie about delivering a court summons to the attended person. I need parents to come together on this issue, Alexander said. I was defrauded out of $32,000 because of this issue. They continue to try to force money out of me and hold me liable for a situation I'm not responsible for. Alexander founded the Carnell Alexander Foundation to find ways to protect families from a system he believes is dysfunctional. He can be reached at 313-939-3447. Let me repeat this number again. The number for Carnell Alexander Foundation is 313-939-3447. Stephen Malise Shelton can be reached at maliseshelton562@gmail.com. That's Stephen Malise Shelton. And his email account is M as in Mary, A as in Apple, L as in Larry, I as in Igloo, K as in Karen, S as in Sherry, H as in Harry, E as in Eric, L as in Larry, T as in Town, O as in Owen, N as in Newport, 562@gmail.com. Okay. These articles are pretty good. There's an article on Wikipedia.com about paternity fraud. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the article on paternity fraud. And I was recently, earlier I read this website called thechildsupporthustle.com. It actually inspired me to do this Dads by Default episode. So I'm going to read Wikipedia.com, paternity fraud, and the history of it. And I am going to read the Dad by Default because they have the information there. So, paternity fraud, also known as misattributed paternity or paternal discrepancy, is when a man is incorrectly identified to be the biological father of the child. The underlying assumption of paternity fraud is that the mother deliberately misidentified the biological father. Paternity fraud is related to the historical understanding of adultery. Research published in 2016 indicated that 1 in 50 British fathers is unknowingly raising a child who is the biological child of another man, and that misattributed paternity is rarer than commonly believed. In 2005, Scientific Review of International Published Studies of Paternal Discrepancy found the range in innocence around the world from 0.8 to 30%. 3.7%. However, as many of the studies were concluded between the 1950s and the 1980s, numbers may be unrelatable due to the occurrence of genetic testing methods and procedures used at the time. Studies ranging date from 1991 to 1999 quote the following incidence rates. 11.8 in Mexico, 4.8 in Canada, 2.8 in France, 1.4 and 1.6 in UK, 0.8 in Switzerland. These numbers suggest that a widely called and substantial figure of 10% of non-parental events is overestimate. However, in studies that solely looked at couples who retained paternity testing because paternity was being distributed, there are higher levels, an incidence of 17 to 33%. More at risk were those born to younger parents, to unmarried couples, and those of lower social economic status, or from certain cultural groups. Now, in studies solely look at couples who obtain paternity testing. So it says here that according to couples who actually obtain paternity testing, the case of is from 17 to 33%. That's a lot. What is it in UK? In 2008 in the United Kingdom, found that biological fathers was misidentified in 0.2, 1 in 500 of the cases processed by the Child Support Agency. Of that 0.2, those who were resolved with DNA paternity testing between 2004 and 2008 showed that between 10 and 19% of the mothers misidentified the biological father. Data about why a mother identified the wrong biological father was never available. The topic of paternity fraud is controversial. In a Journal of Medical Ethics, Heather Draper writes that claims for reimbursement and compensation in cases of misdistributed paternity produce the same distorted and thin view of what it means to be a father that paternity tests assumes, and underscores a trend that is not interests of children. Lynn Turner said that the concept of paternity fraud is not about the demonization of mothers. So, being that I'm in the U.S., let's look in the U.S. The United States have historically imposed a strong presumption of maternal paternity and has also imposed barriers to paternity challenges once paternity has been legally established. Since the advent of DNA testing, laws and guidelines have been proposed or enacted that may allow for a paternity challenge by a legal father who later determines he is not the child's biological father, or by a biological father who learns that somebody else had been named on the child's birth certificate as the child's father. Paternity fraud activist Carnell Smith has raised awareness about how many men, and often boys, are tricked into paying child support for kids that aren't even theirs. He has successfully lobbied the Georgia state legislature to expand the time frame in which paternity tests could be administered. Mandatory paternity testing is available in Georgia and is necessary to obtain a child support order in the state. The law differentiates between legitimacy and paternity, and child support orders can only be ordered after a paternity test. In the case of County of Los Angeles v. Navarro, in 1996, the County of Los Angeles entered a default judgment against putative father Mr. Navarro and ordered him to pay monthly support amidst those two children. The complaint to establish paternity filed by the Bureau of Family Support Operations was based on the information provided by Ms. Doe naming Manuel Nava as the children's father. The agency determined that Mr. Navarro was the father in question and delivered notice to his sister's residence listing Mr. Navarro as co-resident, a notice of Mr. Navarro denied ever receiving. In 2001, Mr. Navarro, armed with a DNA test showing that he was not the children's father, sued the County of Los Angeles asking to be relieved from the support order. The County of Los Angeles opposed the motion, arguing that the motion filed after the 6 months limit to contest a default judgment and the mother's mere assertion that he was the father was insufficient to establish extrinsic fraud. The trial court sided with the county and denied the motion. The ruling was then appealed before the California Second Appellate Court of Appeal. In 2004, the Court of Appeal reversed the trial court decision in favor of Mr. Navarro and became the first published California case to hold a statute of limitations. Did not announce that it will request that the case will be disputed so it can be used as a precedent by other men in Mr. Navarro's situation. That request was later denied by the California Supreme Court. In 2004, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed the law AB 252, which allows men who prove that they are not the biological father more resources to fight paying child support. The law expired in 2007. Okay. Why did the law expire? In Florida, in the case of Parker v. Parker, as part of the 2001 Florida divorce settlement, Mr. Parker was obligated to pay $1,200 monthly child support based on Ms. Parker's representations to the court that Mr. Parker was the child's biological father. In 2003, Ms. Parker filed a motion for contempt and petition to enforce child support against Mr. Parker, which prompted a DNA testing showing that Mr. Parker was not the child's biological father. The motion was 16 months after their divorce. Florida law at the time only allowed the husband of 12 months to contest paternity following divorce. Mr. Parker's court order payments would total about $216,000 over the next 15 years. Mr. Parker filed a petition for relief claiming that the misrepresentation of paternity had resulted in fraudulent support order. This was dismissed by both the trial and then in 2005 the Court of Appeal as being extrinsic fraud and subject to the Florida one-year limit to a contest of dissolution degree, not extrinsic fraud or fraud upon the court that can be formed on the basis of relief from judgment for more than a year. This ruling was then appealed before the Florida Supreme Court, who in 2007 denied Mr. Parker's suit, upholding the 4th District Court of Appeals in 2005. During 2006, the Florida statutes changed, allowing DNA tests to be considered new evidence to contest a support order after the one-year limit. In its published opinion, the Supreme Court ruling of 2007 noted that the change in the Florida statutes, which provides the circumstances and procedures under which a male may disestablish paternity and terminate a child support obligation. However, the court not to consider the applicability of the new statute to Mr. Parker's circumstances, kicking the question of retrial under the new law back to the trial courts. Because of the basic facts and little questions of the case explores different between extrinsic and extraneous fraud, other Supreme Courts, including Iowa and Tennessee, have cited Parker v. Parker when writing opinions of their own paternity fraud type cases. In 2012, the Iowa Supreme Court, in ruling to allow paternity fraud, taught to proceed as it fit comfortably within the traditional boundaries of fraud law, and that it was supported by common law standards for fraud and is not contrary to public policy or the statutory policy of the state. In the case of Barras v. Trevino, Mr. Barras and Mr. Trevino divorced in 1999, with Mr. Trevino shortly after his gaining support order for their supposed daughter with Mr. Barras, named as the pretended father. In 2004, a New Mexico court ruled that the child Mr. Barras had up until then paid $20,000 support to Mr. Trevino for did not actually exist. Mr. Barras sued a DNA testing laboratory in 2006 for falsifying two separate DNA tests for the supposed child by using samples taken from the adult daughter, who, along with one of the employed lab employees, must face fraud charges. Mr. Trevino pleaded guilty in 2008 to charges of fraud and perjury, was sentenced to 21 years in prison. Trevino served 16 months in federal prison in Arizona for claiming the non-existent girl on tax returns. As part of the paternity fraud, Ms. Trevino was able to obtain a birth certificate, Medicare card, and Social Security card for the fictitious girl, prompting Governor Bill Richardson to direct New Mexico Department of Human Services to explain how seven government agencies became not only unwitting participators in the fraud, but also resistant efforts to correct it. Letters and calls from Mr. Barreras to the New Mexico Child Support Agency about his vasectomy in 1998 were ignored, and when the Child Support Enforcement Division orders to bring supposed child in for more paternity tests were not compiled by Ms. Trevino, the agency simply closed case without further investigation. In the case of Hodge v. Craig in October 2012, intentional misrepresentation of paternity was recognized by a unanimous Tennessee Supreme Court Hodge v. Craig, a case where the mother intentionally lied to a man about who the father of the child was. Based on the mother's insurances, the couple married but later divorced. The plaintiff dutifully paid child support, including medical insurance, for the fraud. Based on physical differences between himself and the child, obtained a tissue sample and confirmed his suspicions. Damages were awarded in compensation for child support for 50 years. The court's decision was based on the common law remedy of intentional misrepresentation. The court distinguished the award for damages for a retroactive modification of child support. The action was for damages. It was not suit to establish paternity.
This is interesting. I don't understand, why is this controversial? Why is the feminist against this?
This is so unnerving. Yeah, it makes me scared to get in a relationship and get married, I'll tell you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this article of the one that inspired me to do the episode is called the childsupporthustle.com. Alright. Okay, the child support hustle, alright? It's about, it's a website that started by Kenya N. Rahman. I'm going to read a little bit about him. Okay. Carnell Alexander, Kenya L. Rockman, and Marcus J. Eccles Moulton, Alabama, the Child Support Hustle Town Hall, 2019. Kenya N. Rockman is the author of the Child Support Hustle, NK Carp, and the founder of the Reform Child Support Now movement. Kenya began her writing career in 2007. She specializes in child support guidelines and regulations. Kenya is a disabled veteran of the United States Army. She earned an associate's degree in small business management from Columbia State Community College, a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in business administration, Franklin University in her hometown, Columbus, Ohio. Kenya is a member of the board of advisors for the documentary Erasing Family, directed by Ginger Gentile. She is the co-host of the Child Support Hustle radio show with Marcus J. Eccles. She has reviewed and revisioned changes to the Paternity Act bill, which was introduced by former Michigan State Representative Jim Runstedt in 2016. Kenya has offered several articles which, along with the Child Support Hustle, has been cited in numerous published writings. These published writings include the book Bully to Death, Chris Mackley, Cascade Divorce, written by Michael Volt. Kenya has been a member of panels discussing child support issues and produces video explaining child support situations in order to non-custodial parents with their child support cases. Currently, the Child Support Hustle team is working and writing, presenting legislation to politicians in every state, which will abolish the use of debtor prisons for punish against low-income poor parents allegedly owning child support debt that they cannot afford to pay. She plans on continuing the fight for child support reform and the abolition of debtor prisons. Kenya spoke at the Parents March on Wednesday on May 2, 2019, hosted by Dr. Leon Kuzlai of the Parenting Rights Institute. Kenya N. Rockman currently resides in Austin, Texas. So, I'm going to read this article about Miss Kenya. Alright. As the fight for child support and family court reform heat up in 2017, it is important that a man with child support orders know undoubtedly that the order is valid. More and more men across the United States have been contacting the Reform Child Support Now movement with the issue concerning a failure of notification prior to the order to pay child support. The practice of forcing someone to pay child support without proper service has created a quickly increasing subculture of men, not all necessarily biological fathers. This group, by dads by default, a term by the government, has been recently adopted by Detroit, Michigan. Native Carmel Alexander is becoming more common across the nation. Not a stranger to the child support system or the constitutionally of the laws. Mr. Alexander is a victim of fraternity fraud and without valid proofs of service has been forced by Wayne County, friend of the court in the state of Michigan, to adhere to a child support order. After decades of standing up for the rights and demanding justice, Mr. Alexander's case was finally dismissed but without retribution for the suffering he had been forced to endure during the child support system. Because of his resilience, more men are starting to question the validity of their own child support cases. When a man is found to be a dad by default in a child support case, there is a specific protocol that is supposed to take place before the case ever makes its way to a courtroom. According to the Office of Child Support Enforcement Agency, a branch of the Health and Human Service Administration is tasked with overseeing the child support programs nationally, and a default judgment is decision made by the tribunal when the defendant fails to respond. The failure is to respond is only relevant in the defendant, obligator, and child support cases, has been properly notified about the child support complaint. In fact, the National Paralegal College of the NPC says that the service possessed is so essential in a lawsuit that if not performed properly, a lawsuit cannot be proceed. Child support orders are the lawsuits in the parent or non-parent in some cases. Is the defendant, because of this, proper service is not only essential, but it's the constitutional right of the person being sued in the lawsuit. Since improper service determines the validity of a case, it is important that any man who has been declared a dad by default confirm that they did not receive the child support complaint according to the laws of the state. If the service can be proven invalid, so will be the child support case. An issue that almost arises when men are declared a dad by default and a child support order that can be the amount of the order, because the obligator is not present during the hearing. He cannot provide necessary financial documents needed when deciding a payment account. The judge can impute his income to decide a monthly payment account. Aaron Thomas writes on DivorceNet.com that implement income in the amount court uses in child support calculations when it would be inappropriate to the use of the child's reported income. Some could argue that it would be inappropriate to guesstimate how income to the set of child support payment amount simply because the obligator may not be financially able to pay the set amount. Courts could impute income when a parent is earning below his income, Thomas. Imputed income is one of the reasons that the man, when finally learn of a possible child and definite child support case, begins the obligation dollars or dollars in debt. Arrearranges in the past, unpaid child support owed by non-custodial parent. In many instances, years have been passed and the dad by default is suddenly made aware of the insurmountable debt that cannot be realistically paid during the average wage earner's lifetime. It is important to mention that there are different statutes and limitations based on the state when dealing with child support payments. For example, the statute of limitations to enforce a child support order in Michigan is 10 years after the last obligation due while Alabama enforces a 20-year statute of limitations. Child support cancellations. Florida has a more complex statute of limitations with dealing with child support enforcement, and it means applies to latches of defense if claimed by the defendant. Using latches is not a common defense and is likely to be granted in the states acknowledgingly the form of defense. According to Gregory S. Foreman, PC, a Charleston defense attorney and certified family court mediator, latches seeks to avoid past noncompliance with the order due to one party's failure to timely enforce the order to prejudice of the other. If the judge does not rule in favor of the defendant, he or she may be forced to pay or rearranges, which could be calculated over decades. States such as Ohio or Massachusetts do not have a statute of limitation when it comes to child support orders. That's by default fall under a different set of laws because of the way the judgment is ordered. Jennifer Hawkinson answered the question on dadsdivorce.com, which explained that generally, the court will lose power to hear your motion on the 31st day after the judgment is signed to the court. This further explains how and why men are often thousands of dollars in debt from the very beginning of being notified about the child support order. It is important to overturn certain laws and amendments when righting the wrongs perpetuated against dads by default. The implementation of the Bradley Amendment in 1986 is damaging to all the child support order, but is particularly detrimental to people with default judgments. The OCSE reminds us that judicial official states that child support orders may be retroactively modified except by the date of service of another party. This means that the amount of arrears owner cannot be increased, but importantly, the amount of cannot be decreased. This is a uniform law which makes it nearly impossible for the judges to execute child support debt under any circumstances. This is because under the guidelines of the Bradley Amendment, a child support becomes a judgment or law when it becomes due and unpaid and is entitled to the full faith and credit to be enforced by any other judgment. For dads by default, after the 31st day of the child support, hearing any possible reduction of the alleged owed arrears, short of making expensive timely payments, of course, will never be paid. But by making these payments are often unrealistic for men with moderate, low, or no income. Child support arrears in any case can be detrimental, but are especially damaging to the dad's by default when he is forced into a debt for a child that he biologically fathered. The civil rights violation is suffered by men who may have done nothing more than meet a woman. Consider another Michigan resident who is currently being forced to pay nearly $100,000 in child support arrears for a child that not only he did not father, but to a woman he have never had sex with, in past, present, or otherwise. There are thousands, if not millions, of violations to civil rights due process and equal protections to accompany personal horror stories, all attribute to the current child support system. These situations are reported by biological fathers who have been arrested, but they are not arrested for willfully failing to pay child support, which is the actual law, but because they were financially unable to pay the exorbitant amount of debt. It becomes an even bigger tragedy when a dad by default is arrested for being too poor to pay the child support debt. In conclusion, any man with a default judgment, albeit currently or recently, should question the validity of the child support case. The first step in the process will be contact the local child support agency or the courthouse and request a copy of the entire case file. There's no requirement when requesting personal court documents, and no explanation is needed. The Freedom of Information Act is clear when explaining how citizens can obtain government documentation about themselves. According to the United States Department of State, the FOIA generally provides that any person has the right to request access to federal agency records or information. Although child support agencies is regulated on a state level, the federal government is accountable for ensuring that the states are following the guidelines. Upon receiving and examining the court documents, he needs to ensure that the child support office or court official did in fact obtain proper service when issuing the complaint which resulted in the default judgment. If the proof of service is not verifiable, he should contact his local agency and the court officials responsible for that child support case. Once contacted, he should begin the process of filing a motion to terminate or dismiss the child support order and or judgment on the grounds of failure of proper service. He should immediately find out what paperwork is needed to erase all arrears owed for the child support case. Although a rare remedy in a fraudulent child support case, the debtors by default could seek advice on how to receive a fund for all monies paid because of the child support order. Hopefully, with the formation of Father's Rights and Child Support Reform Advocacy Organizations, the term debtors by default will soon become a distant memory. Yeah. So this is not good. Yeah, so the fight is still on. So what I'm going to do, all right. Oh, there's a lot of articles here. She's been doing articles about, wow, here's the latest. Will coronavirus garnishment overpayments be refunded to non-custodial parents? Okay. This has to do with the coronavirus. coronavirus. She's an idiot. I love Cardi B. She's such an idiot. Coronavirus. I gotta watch a video. Yeah, y'all gotta go to this website, man. It's called the childsupporthustle.com. It's being ran by a black woman standing up for child support rights. Her name is Kenya N. Rahman. Hope I'm pronouncing it right, Miss Kenya. If I'm not, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is great. Phone number is 614-344-1669. I'm going to post this episode and I'm going to call her myself because this is very interesting. She's in Texas, so I got to wait until like 11 o'clock tomorrow. I'm not going to call her. Today is Sunday. I'm not going to call her on Sunday. All right. Well, in closing, this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I just want to remind you of the church announcements that I said earlier. You can follow me on my Instagram, BlackKage840. I'm a stand-up comedian hosting this podcast, and I happen to be an essential worker. If you go to BlackKage840 and you look at my bios, you see my Twitter, you see my Facebook, and you see my Twitch account. Also, I will be doing a very important episode about the state of what's going on in politics in Black America. The episode is going to be called Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies is a book that I haven't read in a long time. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to order this book on my Amazon tablet. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read it. I'm going to go over how Lord of the Flies have to deal with the politics within the African American community. So thank you very much, guys. And God bless and stay safe during COVID-19. And shout out to the protesters, fuck the rioters, and fuck the looters. Thank you. Have a nice day.